Okay, this is the Father Heart TV webcast on 24th of January 2018, and the topic for this evening is the eyes of our heart. And for those of you who don't know, this is Mark Jide from the UK. My fellow compatriots are on holiday or doing ministry in other places. But just before we get into the teaching, just let me pray that the eyes of our heart would be open this evening, that we would see and hear truth from our Heavenly Father. So, Father, we thank you once again for your presence with us. We thank you that you're always with us. And, Father, would you just speak to our hearts this evening? Would you speak words of comfort, words of encouragement, right into the depths of our heart? In Jesus' name, amen. So this evening our topic is the eyes of our heart, and I want to look at this because really it's with our heart that we understand the deep things of life. It's with our heart that we really do relate to people on a deep level. You know, it's with our heart that we connect with our Heavenly Father. You know, it's a relationship of the heart. It's not a relationship of the mind. You know, understanding is good, and gaining understanding is good, and you know, we can have a relationship with people based on our understanding. But this evening I want to talk about the connection that the Father wants to have with our heart, because it's with our heart we believe and are sanctified, as Romans 10 verse 10 says. You know, it's, you know, the deep things of our life happen in our heart. And so I want to look at that and look at a couple of passages in particular where this is talked about. But, you know, one of the characters of Scripture is King David. And, you know, we read a lot about King David. We read his Psalms. We read his story. We can see, you know, the good things he went through, the bad things he went through, the good times that he went through, the more difficult times that he went through. But what we principally see as we look at the story of David is we see a man who was after God's heart. And that's how David is referred to by Luke in Acts, when he says David was a man after God's heart. You know, and what I think that really means is he saw things as God saw them. You know, he saw them as they really were, with the eyes of his heart. And even though when we read through the Psalms, you know, we see the ups and downs of this journey. You know, we see the times that David comes to repentance. We see the times that David is fearful. We see the times that David is worshipping. And, you know, we go with him on this journey through the ups and downs of his life. But he always brings us back to the place of his heart in connection with the Father's heart. He brings us back to that heart to heart connection. And we see as we read the Psalms how his life is changed when he hears God speak words of life into his heart. And I believe that as we read the Psalms and as we see David's journey, we can be comforted by that, and we can be drawn into this journey of the heart. See, seeing things with the eyes of the heart is much more than seeing the events that are taking place. You know, when we see things with the eyes of our heart, we actually see who God is rather than what he does. When we look at things with the eyes of our mind, we limit it a little bit and we see the things he does. But when our heart is engaged, we actually begin to see who he really is. And I believe that's the journey that we're all on. We're all on this journey of discovering who God really is. And as we discover who he really is, we begin to find in the depths of our heart who we really are. And, you know, when those two things come together, when we know who God really is, that he's really, really our Father, and we know who we really are, that we're really his sons and daughters, when that ignites inside of us, it leads us into incredible freedom. It doesn't mean that everything in our life is suddenly perfect. It doesn't mean that everything in our life will go perfectly well from there on. But it means that our heart has become free because we've discovered the truth about who God the Father is and the truth about we are. And I just want to start off for a few minutes looking at a particular passage or a particular series of passages where basically the writers are all saying the same thing. Moses said this in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Isaiah says it in Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 13. And Paul says it towards the Acts of the Apostles. And, you know, I kind of feel like if something is mentioned so consistently through Scripture, then it's something that we need to listen to, we need to hear, and we need to pay attention to. And so I want to look at this particular series of passages, and we're really just going to look in detail at Isaiah and then how Jesus interprets that in Matthew's Gospel. Because Isaiah pretty much quotes Moses, but both Isaiah and Moses are talking to the people who have hardened their hearts. You know, both of these great prophets are addressing the hardness that has crept into the people's lives. And that hardness has created a separation or division between the people and God, who wanted to be their Father. And, you know, Moses and Isaiah address this, and Jesus addresses it in much more detail. And we can see, as Jesus addresses it, how he's beginning to bring a solution to the problem that Isaiah and Moses had. So let's look at this from Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 6. And in verse 5, Isaiah recognizes the state of the people around him. He basically says, you know, these are people with unclean lips and hard hearts. And he says, you know, I'm no better than the rest of them. You know, he recognizes his own weakness, his own humanity. But then as Isaiah 6 goes on, he receives this incredible commission from God to go and bring a really, well, it's not a very encouraging prophetic word to the people. You know, Isaiah has this incredible encounter with God where he sees the holiness of God, and his lips are touched. And then it's kind of like he's so caught up with this great vision that he's seen and experiencing, you know, and God says, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, pick me, you know, send me, I'll go. And I bet a few minutes later, Isaiah wishes that he'd kept his mouth shut, because the word that is given to take to the people is not very encouraging. And, you know, what God says to him, he says, this is the message I want you to take to the people. And it's verse 9. He says, yes, go. Go to the people, but tell them this. You will hear my words, but you will not understand. You will see what I do, but you will not understand its meaning. And, you know, I can imagine Isaiah suddenly felt a little bit deflated at that stage, because it's not really an encouraging word. You know, he's got to go and tell these people that they're hearing words, but they're not understanding what they mean. They're seeing things, but they're not really grasping what they mean. You know, they're like I said a few moments ago, they're seeing what God is doing, but they're not seeing who he is. See, the people's hearts had become hardened, and in it, they'd almost gone beyond the point of repentance, and they'd almost got to the place where they were so bound up that they just couldn't hear what God wanted to say to them. And you know, God says, go and tell the people that their hearts are hard and they don't understand what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to do. And then God says to Isaiah, there are going to be consequences of this. You know, they're not going to respond to your message. You know, how would you feel like if you're a prophet and you're told to go and give a prophetic word and you're basically told by God that the people aren't going to listen to you? You know, I really do wonder how many of us would actually go and deliver it. You know, but Isaiah knows that this prophetic word is not going to be listened to, but he delivers it anyway. And see, what we actually see as we read through that prophetic passage in Isaiah is that the people were so steeped in the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they were incapable of receiving life. The eyes and the ears of their hearts were closed. And so what they'd done is they'd begun to make their own judgments, and they'd begin to make their own assessments and of what was right and what was wrong. And in doing so, they'd prevented themselves from being able to receive the truth into their hearts. And so Isaiah's job is to deliver this word and then tell them the consequences of a hard heart. And so in verse 10, we read what the effect of his message is going to be. And this is what it says: harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. You see, these people were so closed down, their hearts were so hard, they were so much caught up in their in themselves trying to become the answer for everything, that it was they put themselves in a place where it was not possible for them to see with the eyes of their heart or hear with the ears of their heart. And you know, the consequences of being in this place were that they wouldn't be able to engage with life. And, you know, but even at that point, Isaiah dangles something, you know, that even if they could turn to me, they would still be healed. And but the people were just in a place where they couldn't even, you know, begin to turn, and they couldn't begin to receive their healing. But in verse 13, we see a glimmer of hope. We read in verse 13 that a remnant would remain. See, I believe however bad things are, there's always hope. And, you know, however much we see things around us that are negative, however much we see people not wanting to come into a place of life or whatever, I believe there's always going to be hope. And that's what Isaiah gives here. He says a remnant would remain. See, Isaiah quoted the words of Moses. Moses said pretty much the same thing to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 29. See, the people had got themselves to such a place that their hearts were so hard that they were unable to receive life. And, you know, that might not have been the most encouraging prophetic word that Isaiah had to give, but it's actually it's quite a warning for us. You know, I don't want us to point the finger at other people we know, because that's easy to do. It's easy to point the finger at other people and say, oh, their heart is hard. Oh, they can't see this life that we're experiencing. And, you know, when we start doing that, we're actually starting to make judgments and form opinions and everything. But, I don't want us to point the finger at other people tonight. I want us to point the finger at ourselves and look at those times or opportunities in our life or circumstances in our life that cause our heart to become hard. You know, we always think our heart's always open and it's everybody else that's got the problem. But the reality is, you know, it's quite easy for our hearts to become hard and for us to slip into what we've just read in Isaiah and what we're going to read in Matthew chapter 13 in a moment. And so really, you know, let's look at our own hearts. Let's look at areas of our heart where perhaps they've become a little bit hard or a little bit closed. And let's begin, as we do that, let's begin to ask the Father to open our hearts up so that we can begin to see and receive life. So let's go on and look at this passage in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse 10. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. But Jesus is highlighting exactly the same issue as Moses did and as Isaiah did. You know, he's looking at the people around him and he is seeing the hardness of their hearts. And, you know, he wants them to move away from that into a place of life. You know, I don't believe Jesus is condemning, but he's trying to find a way for people to come into life, because that's what he longs for. You know, he came that we would have life and life in all its fullness. And so, I believe he's telling this story because he wants something to change. The story starts off in Matthew 13 with the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, "Why do you always speak to people in these hard to understand parables?" See, Jesus is using parables to talk to the crowds, but he's teaching the disciples pretty much straight on, you know, and giving them very clearly. And so the disciples have got this question: "Jesus, why are you talking to the people in stories?" And I think there's something about a story that draws us in. You know, when someone starts to tell a story, we're captivated and we want to see where that story goes. And stories have this way of involving us and making it easier, perhaps, for us to hear what is really being said. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here. He's trying to make it as easy as he can for the people to really, really understand what he's saying. And so he talks to them in parables or stories. And the disciples come and say, "Why do you use these stories?" And so Jesus explained, and this is what he says. He says, "You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom." But they haven't. See, Jesus says to his disciples, "You've got an incredibly intimate view on what is really, really happening. Because we're in relationship, because we're going around together, because you're hearing me teach, because you're here, you're spending time with me, because you know my heart, you understand the kingdom of heaven. You've got this deeply intimate experience of the kingdom of heaven. But these people, they haven't got that same intimate experience. They haven't got that same view on what's really happening. You know, they're looking at it from the outside, whereas the disciples are looking at it from the inside because they've been let into something greater." And so Jesus says, "I tell them stories because I want them to get hold of this intimate experience of the truth." But then he says, "For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough." See, Jesus says that if our heart is open, we will begin to receive more and more revelation. Revelation of who He is, who His Father is. See, it's an open heart that gives us progressively more revelation. You see, I like that. It's not just one-off revelation. It's progressive revelation. It's a deepening revelation. It's a deepening and greater experience of who God the Father is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and therefore who we really are. See, and, you know, we get that progressive revelation when our heart is open. It's an open heart. It's not an open mind. It's an open heart that gives us this doorway into receiving more and more revelation. Now, this verse, I think, has been misinterpreted. I'll just read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version, verse 12. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who doesn't have, it will be taken away. Now, I think when we've had that verse interpreted for us in the past, what it kind of means, or what it's been meant to mean or made to mean, is like, if you are a prophet and you exercise that gift of being a prophet, then you will become more of a prophet. If you have a lot of wealth that you use for the kingdom, then you will have more wealth, which you can, of course, go on and use for the kingdom. If you have the gift of healing and you use it, then it will grow. Now, there are other stories about the talents and how we use our talents and all that sort of thing. And, you know, that's obviously a valid point and can be looked at in those passages. But what Jesus is talking about here is not our gifts and talents, but he's talking about the understanding of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And he's saying that the key to understanding the secrets of the kingdom of heaven is an open heart. And it's that understanding that will grow rather than, you know, our gifts and talents that will grow. You see, the open heart leads to a greater experience of who God is. And that's what my longing is. And I trust that's what your longing is too, that we can experience more and more of him. And we can discover more and more of his goodness, more and more of his love, more and more of his grace. And, you know, that he would lead us into this deeper relationship with him. And that's what I believe Jesus is talking about here. That we will be taken deeper into a revelation of him when our hearts are open. So let's read on. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. You see, when our heart is closed, the revelation dies. Because we start operating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We start operating out of trying to work it all out and trying to understand it. And so that seed that has been planted in our hearts begins to die. And so Jesus is saying that if our hearts are not open, the seed of life that we have will not be fed. It will not be nurtured, and therefore it won't grow. And so Jesus says, that's why I teach the people with parables, because they think they're looking for truth, but because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. You see, our minds can be teachable and we can learn and receive a lot of information. And all of that information and knowledge might be very, very good. But that's not the key to a relationship. The relationship is a heart connection. You know, I have a heart connection with my wife. I have a heart connection with my kids. See, the deep, meaningful relationships of life are heart connections. And Jesus is wanting to draw the people into that heart relationship with the Father. And, you know, he's saying if their hearts are not open, they cannot discover the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. See, he is the revealer. He is the great revealer of truth. And the truth is to lead us into relationship with the Father. And so Jesus is recognizing that the people's hearts have become unteachable. And therefore, it's very, very difficult, very, very hard for them to receive life. And, you know, again, let's just bring this back to our own hearts, that if, you know, if our hearts become closed, if our hearts become hard, then it's like the life inside of us drains away. And as, you know, my encouragement this evening is that, you know, I don't want us to be like the people that Isaiah prophesied to. I want us to be a people with open hearts. And sometimes we know sometimes that it's not easy to open our hearts up because of the pain and the woundedness. But, you know, my encouragement this evening is that can we open our hearts up? Can we let Father put his finger on those areas in our heart that are perhaps closed or hard, and allow him to speak into them, because that will bring us into a place of greater life and greater freedom. Jesus ends verse 14 by saying this. He says, the prophecy of Isaiah describes them perfectly. You see, something is happening here, but the people are just not getting it. They are not receiving the revelation of life that Jesus was speaking to them. And so Jesus says, yeah, Isaiah talked about this. And then he quotes the passage in Isaiah. And what he says is this. He says, although they listen carefully to everything I speak, they don't understand a thing I say. They look and pretend to see, but the eyes of their hearts are closed. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and they are hard of hearing. And they have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. See, again, he's highlighting the fact that the people have chosen to close their eyes, the eyes of the heart, as truth. And then he says, you know, they deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would open their eyes and see. They would open their ears and hear. They would open their minds to understand. And they would turn to me and I would instantly heal them. See, Jesus says the people have chosen this walk of independence. They've chosen this walk of closing their heart and living out of reason and logic. And because they've chosen that, it's impossible for them to hear. But Jesus says, if only they would open their hearts, then they could see, they could hear, they could understand, they could turn to me and I would heal them. You see, Jesus actually slightly misquotes Isaiah. In fact, I don't even know if it's a misquote, because Jesus is the Word of God. And, you know, the words he speaks are life. But what he says is, if they would open their minds, or they would open their eyes, they would open their ears, then I would heal them. Then they would be able to turn and I would heal them. And that's slightly different to what Isaiah says. He said they are incapable of turning and hearing. But Jesus says, I think they could do it. And this is the encouragement that Jesus brings, that I think they could do it. I think they could turn and I will heal them. See, that's why Jesus talks to the people in parables, because he's trying to get their attention. He's trying to get them to see that their hearts have become hard and closed, but there is the possibility of change. And if they would change, then he will heal them. And he says to the disciples, he said, you know, that's why I talk to the people in parables. But he says this to his disciples, and I love this, because the disciples were by no means perfect. They didn't have it all together. They didn't get it right all the time. They were just like you and me, you know. And Jesus looks at them and he says, but your eyes are privileged because they see. Delighted are your ears because they are open to hear all things. And I just find that verse, that's verse 17 of Matthew 13. I just find that so encouraging that here are the disciples, you know, just a ragged lot of guys, fishermen, uneducated. They still got it, you know, Peter opened his mouth and put his foot in it. They were just like us. And Jesus recognizes that something has changed in their hearts. And even though they're not perfect, even though they haven't got it all together, Jesus looks at them and says, but you're different. Your heart is connected to my heart. And you see things with the eyes of your heart. And you hear things with the ears of your heart. And, you know, this isn't a conscious reasoning. This isn't all about facts and about knowledge. This is, if you like, perceiving or intuition or something that's going on. Sometimes what goes on in our hearts is just too deep almost to put words to. But Jesus recognizes that in his disciples and says, I see your hearts. And I see that your hearts are open to see and to hear. You know, and I believe that's what the Father wants to say to us tonight. You know, I see your hearts. I see a heart that is longing after me. You know, I see a wounded heart. You know, I see a broken heart. But I see a heart that's open. And you can hear and you can see the truths of my kingdom. And it's people like us, people like the disciples who have got an open heart that will receive progressively more revelation that will lead us into a deeper intimacy with our Heavenly Father. See, John, in John's Gospel, in John chapter 12, verse 40, John summarizes this very nicely for us. He says, God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts to the truth. So with their eyes and hearts closed, they cannot understand the truth, nor can they turn to me. So otherwise I would instantly cleanse and heal them. See, that just puts it in a nutshell. And Jesus is longing to open the eyes of our heart so that we can come and see who our Father is. You know, in Ephesians, we get a really stark contrast, if you like, where Paul in two different passages is comparing and contrasting what it's like when we live from our minds with our heart closed up. And he contrasts that with what it's like when we live with the eyes of our heart opened. You know, let's first of all look at living out of the mind and understanding and, you know, with a hard heart and so on. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. And Paul writes this, he says, now I say this and I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You see, the Gentiles are walking in the pathway of their mind, which Paul describes as the futility, the uselessness of their mind. And he says they are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. See, when the eyes of our heart are closed, we live out of the futility or uselessness of our mind. But that is not what governs relationships. And in particular, it's not what governs our relationship with the Father. When we live like this, you know, Paul says our understanding is darkened. It's like a veil comes over us. It's like a great big blanket. It's like wearing very, very dark sunglasses. You know, we just cannot see things clearly. It's just like everything is confused. and we just can't make sense of it. And the concept that leads to us being separated from the life of God, and it causes our heart to become harder and harder. The Passion Translation for verse 18 says, their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from true knowledge of God. See, to me, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live separated from God. I don't want to live with this veil of confusion surrounding me. I don't want to live with this sort of cloud hanging over my head. And I certainly don't want to live with a hard heart. See, that's one, you know, that's one view that Paul presents. But the other and more positive one, thankfully, is when the eyes of our heart are opened. And we read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, where Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart opened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? You know, what a contrast to what we've just seen. You know, when the eyes of our heart are opened, we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We receive a heart knowledge of who he really is, and we know the hope to which we've been called. Suddenly, the door is opened to us living in our identity as sons and daughters and stepping into our inheritance, which we receive as sons and daughters. You know, what a contrast. Instead of a darkened understanding, instead of a life separated from God, instead of a hard heart, we've got this wisdom and revelation. We've got a knowledge and an understanding of who he is. And suddenly we've got an identity and an inheritance. When the eyes of our heart are open, things change. And things change for the better. See, our humanity can't fully understand this. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that our spirit has to be strengthened. Because it's a spirit-to-spirit connection. It's the life that Jesus promised living in us, that we know who our Father is and we know that we're sons and daughters. It's being rooted and grounded and established in love. And it's no wonder that, you know, our human spirit is just not big enough to understand or contain this. And that's why Paul says we need to be strengthened so that our spirit will grow within us so that we can receive more and more and more of this. And, you know, as our heart is impacted, as our heart changed, our mind will be renewed. Romans 12 verse 2 talks about the renewing of the mind. You know, as our heart is impacted, we become clothed with Christ, Galatians 3 verse 27, and we become like him, taking on his righteousness and his holiness, which is Ephesians 4 verse 23. See, the dead end way of living according to the wrong tree is stripped away, and we begin to see and hear with our heart. And that leads to healing, it leads to revelation. You know, Paul writes in Galatians that not only are we sons and daughters, but we are also heirs to all of the promises. And he specifically refers to the promises given to Abraham. And the promises given to Abraham were that he would be a blessing to all nations. And I believe as we begin to live from the heart, as we experience the deep truths and the deep life of our Father, not only will it bring healing and revelation to us, but we will begin to be a channel for healing and revelation to go to the nations, because we will begin to be living from the tree of life, not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we live from the tree of life, we will be a channel for the healing and the blessing to the nations. I just think that's very, very exciting. Paul, you know, Moses said it, Isaiah said it, Jesus said it, and Paul summarizes this, and we read what Paul says towards the end of the book of Acts. He says, "Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." This is his commission, "to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." See, Paul's commission was to go to people who were blind and give them sight. I don't believe he's talking about natural blindness or our physical eyes. He's talking about the blindness in people's hearts. And, you know, when Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, "I'm sending you to open blind eyes, to open the blind eyes of the heart, so that people will turn from their darkness to light and they will turn from the power of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me." And then in Acts chapter 28, verse 26, Paul says, talking to the people, he says, "You keep staring at the truth, but you don't understand it." And, you know, there it is again. People who cannot see things because the eyes of their heart are closed. And it's the eyes of the heart and the ears of the heart. They are the channel through which the Father connects with us. They are the channel through which life comes into our hearts. And, you know, Paul was given this sort of calling, if you like, to go and bring sight to the blind. And I believe that as we begin to live from the heart, as we begin to experience life, that we will be able to go to people who are blind, and we will be able to give them sight. Maybe for some people that would be physical sight, but I really believe it's talking about the eyes of our heart. That we will be able to set people free so that they can live from the heart, that they can see with the eyes of the heart, that they can experience this life flowing into them. I just see this as a really big, exciting picture of what God the Father wants to do in the earth today. And I believe we're part of it. And for me, that is so exciting. But it starts with us. It starts with each one of us looking into our heart. It starts with each one of us saying, "Father, what's my heart like? Father, are there areas of my heart that are hard? Are there areas of my heart that are closed? Father, will you just cause those to open up?" And, you know, maybe that's painful, but as he heals that heart, it opens that up and it enables us to see things in a deeper and more intimate way. It's this progressive revelation that we read about earlier. We're taken from one level of revelation to another level of revelation. It starts with us, but it flows through us and out of us to the people around us. I believe this is the way the world is going to be changed. It's the way people's lives are going to be changed. You know, when they bring their heart to that place of saying, "Father, will you open my heart? I want to see. I want to turn and be healed. I want the eyes of my heart to see who you really are. I want the ears of my heart to hear the truth. I want to receive life. Jesus said on the last day of the feast, the great day, he stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of life." That's what the Father wants to do for us. And we're just going to put the music on for a few moments. I just encourage you just to take those few moments just to let Father speak into your heart. Let your heart open. Let those eyes of your heart just begin to see things. You know, bring those areas to him. Just ask him to speak. You know, if you're thirsty, come and drink. And we'll just spend a few moments drinking. And, you know, let this life flow into us. Let his goodness flow into you. Wherever you are now, right around the world, just let his life flow into your heart. So, Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your life that's flowing into us. And, Father, we just want to take this time to be with you in your presence. We want to hear you speak to our hearts. Father, we want words of life to be poured into our hearts. And Father, if there's any areas that are hard or closed, then we bring them to you. And we ask you, Father, to soften them by the power of your Spirit and to pour your life in. That, Father, we would just receive more and more revelation of who you are. That you would draw us deeper and deeper into that intimacy with you. Amen. Let's just take a few minutes to receive.